for 9 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
Information that you can't get anywhere else.
And 30 years of Rosie on the House.
Inviting you back into my house at Rosie on the House with a little toe-tapping Cajun music. Good morning. I wanted to visit with y'all this hour. You know, the topic on everybody's mind really is kind of our big utility bills are going to be happening here over the next 4 months. And everybody's wanting to know, what can I do to cut those bills down? What can I do to keep from having to go, you know, $500, $550, $600 a month just trying to stay comfortable in my home? And one of the things that came out about 40 years ago was a product that we call outsolation. Up until then, when we wanted to stucco a house, we would stretch black paper and chicken wire over the outside of the studs. That's called a lathing material. And then we'd apply three coats of stucco. We'd apply the scratch coat, the brown coat, the texture coat, all needing to be done on different days. It was a very long process in the home construction build schedule. It was really one of the longer lasting things. And you had to do it in a way that the guys hanging the drywall weren't cracking the stucco on the outside. So you had to lath it and get it dried in. Then you had to insulate it. Then you had to hang the sheetrock. Then you had to come in, do your scratch and your brown. And it was messy, messy, messy. I mean, bags of cement, and you were spraying it on the wall. And about that early 80s, late 70s, it came out as actually a local stucco contractor in Maricopa County. He invented a system where we weren't going to use so much cement and sand. We were going to start using an acrylic product. And rather than put it on in three coats, we were going to put it on in one coat, and you actually just spread and texture all at the same time. And theory was we're going to have a lot less cracks that way because it's not cementitious, it's based on acrylic. And then we're going to put that over a foam board instead of lath. We're going to hang this foam board to the outside of the stud, stretch chicken wire over the top of that, and then apply the acrylic stucco. And the acrylic actually bonds to the foam chemically, so you've got a good strong bond there. And it was called Western One Coat, is what it was called when we first started. And then more sophisticated systems came out called Drive It and Stow Wall. And we were actually moving the insulation that we used to be putting inside the wall cavity and taking a part of that with the 1-inch rigid foam board, high density, to the outside. We discovered that we were actually an R7. 1-inch foam board on the outside of the house was equivalent in effectiveness to about an R11 inside the wall, because it was keeping the thermal dynamics completely out of your house. I tell people all the time, they ask me, if I'm building a home or if I'm remodeling a home, what should my insulation values be? You know, and a lot of people overreact. You know, they think, well, if I get an R40 or an R50 in my outside walls, that's just going to be perfect. Well, you're wasting a lot of money accomplishing that, because the highest R value you can get on your windows is about an R4. There are some windows, Pella, if you have the internal blinds.
The triple pane with the internal blinds, right.
You know,
wood frame.
You can get up to an R7, R8. But a typical window, good grade window, is going to be about an R4. And so when you put this R50 or 60 wall up and you punch a bunch of R4 holes in it, the R60 isn't doing anything for you. If you could build a house, Romy, that was a perfect R10 envelope all the way around on every side, you would have probably the most efficient, cost-effective, economical to build, economical to live in house on the planet. But we can't get there. We're still limited by the holes we punch in our envelope with doors and windows. So, outsolation was one way that we could increase the efficiency. It got a bad rap, and I want to go into that in a little while, but we've had Bob hanging for a while. I'd like to go ahead and get Bob. When I get Bob, there are other open lines if you want to get in, visit about your home. Give us a call, and let's see what we can't help you with. The number's 1-888-767-4348. The easy way to remember that is 1-888-ROSIE for you, R-O-S-I-E, the number 4, and the letter U. Bob, good morning. Thank you for calling Rosie on the house. And thank
no
you.
No problem, Rosie.
Hey, and thanks for being so patient, buddy. Well, how can I help you now that I got you, man?
You woke me up. I appreciate that.
Okay.
So I've been crawling around in my attic before as a, you know, rookie homeowner, or I wouldn't say rookie, but not a professional contractor. And I noticed, I think they're called O'Hagan vents. It's a tile roof, and there's, you know, some vents where the they look like tile.
Yeah.
Underneath those vents, all the insulation is blown out. It looked like a bomb went off. It just divots. So as a homeowner, how would you recommend to go up there and re-spread that insulation?
Well, just by doing that, using a ruler and seeing how deep does it consistently sit throughout the rest of the attic, moving it back into an even blanket. And then what you may want to do is take like some bird netting, Bob, and spread over the top of that. It's the backdraft coming through the O'Hagan vents that are kind of blowing those pockets out of there. And a little bird netting right there would help hold some of that in place. Here's an interesting thing about attic insulation, Bob. Let's say your house is 2,000 square feet, and it's perfectly insulated perfectly at an R30 or an R38 up in the attic. But you want to put in some speakers in the living room. So you crawl up there, and you move a little insulation away, and you cut the holes in the ceiling, and you put your speakers in, and then you run your wires. If 5% of your insulation is disturbed, it destroys the entire efficiency of the entire attic by 50%.
Wow.
So if you've just disturbed 5% of the area, you're 50% less effective than you were because you've created this huge thermal bridge that allows the heat and the cold to move through that disturbed area, creating hot spots. It's like opening a door or opening a gate valve that allows that energy to transfer between itself. So get up there, level it out, throw down some bird netting to kind of keep it held in place, and you'll be a lot more comfortable.
Thank you.
Okay, man.
And you had mentioned just waking up, I think.
I think I woke him up. He fell asleep on hold.
On hold. Oh. Okay. Well,
what were you going to say?
I was going to say, don't wake up at 10 o'clock and start this project right now.
Good point.
You're going to be toast by then. Wake up at 5 o'clock. Heck, it's even light, like 4:45 right now. You know, as soon as you've got enough light to see, get up there and get it done. Because even if you waited until it cooled off at night, it takes hours for your attic to cool back down.
Yeah, it does. And the attic,
early morning project.
The attic scares a lot of people. Insulation's fairly cheap, and an attic can get to 160, 170 degrees in the middle of the summer. And people think, well, if I can just cool my attic off, I will reduce the air conditioning load on my home. And so they start putting in a bunch of ventilation fans up there in the attic to suck the hot air out. And that's one of the scams that we talk about in our blog of yesterday that you can find on our website, rosieonthehouse.com. Ladies and gentlemen, homeowners of Arizona, let me tell you just one more time. Never, ever, for any reason, put a fan in your attic that has power running to it to suck the air out of your attic. It doesn't work.
No, it does. It sucks the air out of your attic. But it also sucks the air out of your air-conditioned air right up through the ceiling. There's plenty of penetrations between your drywall and your light fixtures and the return, you know, every area where you've got your air conditioning ductwork connected through the drywall, all of those penetrations, it sucks the air conditioning out of your home into your attic and then blows it out the roof.
Mother Nature hates an imbalance. And when you suck air out of the attic, you're creating a negative pressure that must be rebalanced. And it's trying to rebalance itself by sucking every place it can suck. And that's the ceiling fan junction box in your bedrooms. That's the exhaust fans in the bathrooms and the kitchen. That's the recess cans in the living room and everywhere else. Do not ever power ventilate your attic. Passive ventilation is perfectly okay because it's operating within the balance of itself. Every ounce, every square cubic foot of air that's coming in the attic is transferred out the attic naturally by convection and air movement. Don't ever power ventilate your attic. And people say, well, Rosie, it's a solar-powered fan. Perfect. You're not paying anything to suck the air conditioning out of your house. That's a great move, right? Never power ventilate your attic. So appreciate the call. We've got Rusty calling in Buckeye, and he wants to know, well, how thick should this outsolation be? So we'll get to Rusty's phone call right after this short break. Jennifer, our call screener, is waiting for your call at 1-888-767-4348. We'll be right back.